WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Pope Francis is dead. Bells tolled at church towers across Rome after the Vatican made the announcement this morning. They tolled 88 times at Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris. The Eiffel Tower will go dark tonight in honor of the life of 88-year-old Francis, who was a man of firsts. CBS's Vicky Barker is at the foreign desk.
Habemus Papam.
It was March 13th, 2013, and when that white smoke signal rose above the Vatican, the world's 1.3 billion Roman Catholics got their first Jesuit, their first ever Latin American pontiff. Jorge Mario Bergoglio's first words to them set the tone for his papacy.
Dare la benedizione, ma prima...
And now I would like to give you the blessing, he said, but first I want to ask you for a favor. Before the bishop blesses the people, I ask that you would pray to the Lord to bless me.
Francis drew the ire of conservatives when he reached out to LGBTQ plus Catholics. The BBC's Vatican expert, Ed Sturton.
He was opposed by some within the church who felt very strongly that he was taking it in the wrong direction.
He spoke with CBS's Nora O'Donnell for 60 Minutes last year.
You have to be open to everything. The church is like that. Everyone. That so-and-so is a sinner. Me too, I am a sinner.
The Pope's last public appearance was yesterday, Easter Sunday. He blessed thousands of people in St. Peter's Square and took a surprise ride in the Popemobile. He also met with Vice President Vance, who says his heart goes out to Christians today. The White House released a message on X, "Rest in peace, Pope Francis." CBS News confirms Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth created a second Signal messaging chat about a planned U.S. strike on Houthi militants in Yemen that included his wife, his brother, and former attorney, CBS's James LaPorta.
We don't know if this was the same information that was included in the post that came out from The Atlantic. When you look at The Atlantic post, it's quite clear what was shared.
At least three people killed in powerful storms that unleashed tornadoes, baseball-sized hail, and rising floodwaters across the South and Midwest. One twister touched down in Ada, Oklahoma, where J.R. Ian owns a motel and a donut shop.
A person who'd been hit, it never been me. It didn't happen to be me this time. So it's hard.
Once again, our top story. The Vatican says Pope Francis has died at the age of 88. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The Brewers beat the A's. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers beat the A's 14-1 to take the series 2-1. 23-year-old right-hander Logan Henderson, making his major league debut on the mound, gave up only 3 hits, 1 run. He struck out 9 over 6 innings.
I don't know if I can sum it up yet. I mean, I'm just super thankful, man. It's accumulation of a lot of hard work and a lot of people that have believed in me, and just got to thank all my family, friends, and everybody who's helped me get to this position.
Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
Oh, he was great. You know, you guys saw it, 6 innings, and yeah, it's the best I've ever seen him throw. I never have watched the success he's had, so it's great to see.
The Brewers on the road tonight in San Francisco. NBA, the Bucks reviewing what went wrong in that 117-98 loss to the Pacers Saturday. Game 2 of the series tomorrow night in Indianapolis. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Since we haven't heard Glenn Powell news in about 4 seconds, here is an update. The highly in-demand actor will co-write and star in a new comedy about a country western music star. Powell is partnering with Judd Apatow, with whom he will share writing credit for the script. Apatow, whose credits include The 40-Year-Old Virgin and Knocked Up, will direct. Powell's most recent credits were Hitman and the blockbusters Twisters and Top Gun 2. A legacy drummer is out of a job. The Who has decided to part ways with Zach Starkey after almost 30 years following a performance at the Royal Albert Hall in London. Starkey is the son of Beatles drummer Ringo Starr and the godson of original Who drummer, the late Keith Moon. Starkey apparently got into it on stage with lead singer Roger Daltrey. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be breezy, cloudy, with scattered showers likely today. The showers will end, and we will clear a little bit by late this afternoon with a high today in the upper 40s to low 50s. Tonight, mostly clear. We'll drop into the low to mid 30s tomorrow. A mix of clouds and sun with a few sprinkles here and there, and a high in the low to mid 50s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Milwaukee Film Festival program director Kirsten Larson, and Tim Sowers from the Overture Center in Madison discusses their new lineup. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 to 8.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Monday morning, April 21st, 2025. Another beautiful but wet morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota. From wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network. You might be listening on the app instead, or catching us here on Facebook or YouTube, or on demand by podcast. We appreciate you starting your day and your week right here. I got a question for you. Did you find the right limit when it came to Easter candy and Easter ham and everything else? Or like me, did you overdo it and got yourself a tummy ache? Hopefully it was a good weekend for you. It was a family-filled weekend for us, and we couldn't be more thankful about that. And so we turn our attention now toward a new work week, where some changes are coming to this show and to this whole radio lineup that you listen here on across the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll talk more about that. We will, of course, get to the breaking news overnight. It's a bit of a more subdued Monday morning than we were planning. But with the news of the passing of Pope Francis, we will talk a bit about his life, his legacy, and the church. Because whether we like it or not, we live in a world now where the public discourse is dominated by politics. And so we will look toward the papal conclave, which, you know, in light of not just a recent movie, but even if that hadn't come out, it would have all the appearances of a partisan convention, because there are factions in churches, just as there are in so many other things in society. And we'll talk about the debate over whether the next pontiff will be more in line with Francis and leading the church toward a rediscovery of its roots of inclusion and mercy, or if it will ratchet up more of a doctrinaire pursuit of cultural adherence, shall we say. So we'll get into that coming up in a bit. In our second hour, we will talk to author Laura Bird. This week marks National Independent Bookstore Day, and so she's going to talk about the ways that independent bookstores are so important to a community. And it's not just about the local economy and another small business, but also a diversity in reading opportunities and, you know, providing community spaces for ways to celebrate literature overall. We'll get into sports. The Brewers were on quite the roller coaster this weekend, though they did take 2 out of 3 from the West Sacramento Athletics. Kristen Lyerly will be here. We'll talk to Selena Heller. Her story for us this week is a local woman in the Chippewa Valley talking about medical research, the clinical cancer research that has kept her alive past her expiration date, as laid out by doctors a couple of years back. That's because of the value of clinical research, of medical research, which should go without saying. But we have to say it. We have to say it repeatedly in this era of budget austerity about the things that are worth our investment and pay dividends for our lives and the lives of those who come after us. We'll have Brittany Merlot talking about this rain that's sitting right over a big chunk of northern two-thirds of Wisconsin right now, just sitting right on top of us and spinning away. We'll see when it's going to move out and what happens after that. Jane Matinier will tell us what's coming up on her programs this week as well. All that and more, but first we'll check in with Greg Bach down at Radio Park in Racine, where, again, he thought Easter Sunday was going to be a very relaxing time. He didn't have any big events planned. Let's see now if the young man got the relaxing Sunday he was looking for. Mr. Bach, good morning. What'd you do yesterday?
I did nothing.
Ta-da! Wow. How did it feel?
Honestly, I was feeling out of the weather most of the day, so it was just really a lot of laying down.
Yeah.
But it felt good. I watched TV. I watched movies. Me and Maybell just hung out. It was fantastic. So, yeah, it was everything I hoped the Sunday would be, because it's been very busy lately. And
yeah,
Sundays off are a few and far between for me. So,
right. So, well, good.
Yeah.
Can you do any more of those, or was that kind of a one and done, or all your Sundays have spoken for now?
No, I mean, like the next, like, and I don't, not, this is nothing against my friends. I love hanging out with them, but I do, because I live in Kenosha and all my friends generally live in the Milwaukee area. So even if I'm hanging out with friends, I still count it as like, I got stuff to do because I'm driving, I'm hanging out and I'm going home. So, I don't know. I think the next Sunday off I'll have will probably be about 3 weeks or so.
Okay. It is something how when we talk about people that, you know, we go see and you go, well, you know, do they live nearby? Well, kind of yes, no, but, you know, it's that 30 minutes or so that you have to bake in.
Yeah.
You know, that's the case. You know, if you're up here in, you know, we're north of Chippewa Falls and you're going to do something down more in the, you know, the mall area of Eau Claire, close to the interstate, state, well, that's almost 30 minutes. And in the Twin Cities, anytime you plan something, you know, it's 30 minutes. When we lived in Milwaukee, well, plan for 30 minutes. You know, you just kind of bake that in as your default drive time.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to, hey, our neighbor next door, which we don't do nearly enough of because, you know, we are so much far flung now. We are an automobile driven society, pun intended. So it's tough to just go do something quickly. You, like you said, you have to bake in the day's plans.
Mm-hmm. Plus, as you know, at a certain age, it's, you don't just do things at the drop of a hat either. You don't just say, hey, do you want to go see a movie? Like, oh, you want to see a movie in 3 weeks?
Yeah. You know what though? I've lost track of the number of times that we've tried to plan something with friends and we go, how about next week? No. How about the week after? No. How about the week after? No. How about the week after? No. There's always something. And then sometimes something frees up.
Yeah.
And you reach out to somebody and go, hey, you guys free to do something tonight? Yeah. As a matter of fact, we are. and then things come together. And honestly, sometimes those are the best. I mean, not that you shouldn't try to make plans, but you know, it's always nice when something spontaneous can still happen. Yeah. When you can live a life of whimsy. Greg, I want you to be more whimsical in your life.
Oh my God. How do you do that?
I don't know. Yeah. Sometimes it's better just to sit home and watch TV, as Tony did up in Ashland over the weekend. It puts here on YouTube. My wife watched a season and a half of Ted Lasso for the first time. Just a fantastic show.
Welcome to the club. How much did you cry? Because I cried a lot.
In the first season and a half?
I mean, yeah. There's just moments. Okay. There's moments.
Oh yeah, there are. But Tony does also advocate for doing nothing. Nothing is the best, he puts up. Alicia says, had quite the puddle out my back door this morning. Yes, all kinds of rain. We haven't even put out our rain gauge yet, so I can't even be the old man nerd and tell you what we got, other than to say it was quite a bit. But Alicia also writes, good morning. It's the big week, isn't it? I'm so excited for you guys. Well, thank you, Alicia.
Thank you, Alicia.
It is a big week, and it feels very much like final exams are coming or your big book report is due and you're still working to get everything ready. Let's put it that way. So these are going to be a couple of busy days ahead before the show grows to 3 hours, 6 to 9 a.m. starting Wednesday. And then Matt and Aaron Air follows right away from 9 to 11. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that Greg Bach, he is one busy morning creature starting
yes,
this week.
Indeed. Yes, yep. Indeed.
But it's a nice change. We're looking forward to starting the new lineup. Again, that's coming up on Wednesday. So there will be some changes. Here's what doesn't change. The phone number to reach us, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You can call that number. You can text that number. You can use that Civic Media app to call or text us, not just listen to us. You can participate as well. And as we mentioned, the comments are already coming in YouTube, also on Facebook. That would be the Up North News Facebook page, the Up North News YouTube page, the Civic Media Facebook page, and I believe starting Wednesday, coming to the Civic Media YouTube page as well. So definitely all kinds of ways to reach us. You can email us as well, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. Up North News being a separate entity from Civic Media, but so happy to do this partnership in the mornings and growing it even stronger coming up this week. But you can find out what all we do over at upnorthnewswi.com. You can sign up for our newsletters there. That would include not only our daily newsletter, but the Sunday morning one that has a Wisconsin politics focus. And my question of the week this week was about the governor's veto power. Because on Friday, I believe after we visited Friday morning, the Wisconsin Supreme Court put out its decision, and it was split along ideological lines. So the progressive majority carried the day in upholding a particular way that Governor Evers used his veto power and allowed a veto that extends an increase in school aid for 400 years. Because of the way that he struck out, individual numbers. And so instead of the years 2023-24 and 2024-25, it's an increase in aid from 2023 to the year 2425. And the Wisconsin Supreme Court, even the progressive justices were like, this is not great, but it's also not against the Constitution. And, rulings like that actually make me feel better when they're essentially delivering a message to the legislature or to Congress, as the case may be, saying, hey, we're ruling this way because this is where current law is, but you might want to take a look at this. You might want to change things. And goodness knows Republicans have tried to really rein in the gubernatorial veto. I'm sure the same thing would happen if the tables were turned. So I asked, hey, can we take the partisan hat off? What do you think we should do? Should we have the same veto powers that we have right now, the partial veto being extremely powerful? Should we limit it in some way? And obviously always a good mix of answers. I always appreciate the thoughtful comments that come in. And so thank you for all of those. Again, get our newsletter on the weekends and you too can respond to our question of the week. A little sports here at 6:18 because the Milwaukee Brewers took 2 out of 3 from the West Sacramento Athletics, trouncing them 14-1 yesterday. Rhys Hoskins went 3 for 5 with a homer, 4 RBIs, and Milwaukee had a franchise record 9 steals in the game. Now the Brewers are on an 11-day road trip, 10 games in 3 cities. The first of 4 in San Francisco will be coming up tonight. Coverage begins at, I didn't update that one there. Coverage begins at, I believe, 8:10 p.m. On several Civic Media stations. The Bucks, meanwhile, were blown out by the Indiana Pacers on Saturday in game 1 of their playoff series. Giannis put up 36 points, but everybody else was throwing up bricks and nothing to show for it. Game 2 is tomorrow in Indy on NBA TV. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Monday morning, when you're here, you're up north. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. While corrosive democracy news from Washington continued this week, state news ranged from good in Delaware and Mississippi, mixed in North Carolina and Pennsylvania, to downright ugly in New Hampshire. Voting Rights Lab reports the Delaware Senate advanced SB 2 and SB 3, constitutional amendments allowing 10 days of early voting and no excuse absentee voting. Legislative versions of both bills passed last year, but the Delaware Supreme Court found that the state constitution didn't enable them. The General Assembly must pass them again next year for them to be adopted. The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals ordered Mississippi to redraw state Senate districts for DeSoto County, which it found violated the 1965 Voting Rights Act by diluting a majority black section of the county, according to Mississippi Today. State officials in North Carolina found fewer issues among the 5,000 military and overseas voters than the Supreme Court candidate Jefferson Griffin claimed, but the highly questionable post-election review of voter eligibility continues. Pennsylvania Attorney General Dave Sunday appealed a federal court ruling directing county officials to count otherwise eligible mail-in ballots without a date. The New Hampshire Senate advanced SB 213, which would require voters applying by mail for an absentee ballot to enclose a copy of their birth certificate, U.S. passport, or naturalization papers, almost certainly disenfranchising otherwise eligible voters. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
Wherever you are in Wisconsin, there's a free and confidential Aging and Disability Resource Center, ADRC, or Tribal Partner Agency. We're here for older adults, adults with disabilities, and your families. ADRCs are a bridge to support for benefits and financial assistance, transportation, in-home care, and more. Get to know your local ADRC and connect with resources today. Call toll-free 1-844-WIS-ADRC or go to findmyadrc.org. Paid for by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, Wausau's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Well, since my baby left me, well, I found a new place to dwell. Well, it's down at the end of Lone Street, that heartbreak hotel where I'll be. I'll be just a lonely baby. Well, I'm so lonely. I'll be just so lonely. I could die.
Little preview of today's history lesson. Elvis Presley had a couple of number one songs on this day in the 1950s. We'll have more to say about that coming up in about a half hour here on Up North News Radio, where it is just about 6:22 right now. I was looking at Dan Schaefer sends us an email all over the weekend, kind of previewing the week ahead in Wisconsin politics. And he led off the email the same way that I led off our Sunday morning newsletter with sports. It's the NFL draft coming up this week, starting Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. The NFL draft will be at Lambeau Field. Very big, very exciting. I mean, so many people will be there for the excitement. I've never been to one. I had a trip to Nashville where we got there the day after the draft ended. It had been in Nashville that weekend, and you could still feel it there. Just what a big deal it was, how well it went. People were, you know, it's become just this destination. The draft, which used to be something they pretty much did around a card table, and is now this mega event. I mean, it's going to be a tremendous boon to the regional economy there. And so we hope it goes very smoothly and everybody has a wonderful time. There will be a session of the Wisconsin State Senate on Tuesday. There will almost certainly be a bill on extending Medicaid coverage for postpartum women, which won't be a big surprise because the Senate did it in the last session as well by a vote of 32-1. And that one guy is not in the Senate anymore. And in the Assembly, it has so many co-sponsors, it would pass if just the co-sponsors voted for it. But Robin Voss, the Assembly Speaker, doesn't want it. And so the Senate will probably pass it on Tuesday. And then the pressure will ramp up on Speaker Robin Voss to maybe stop being against moms and their health care and do something about maternal mortality and things like that. So that's one of the things. It'll be, as always, a busy week in Wisconsin politics, and we'll keep you updated across Up North News and on the Civic Media Radio Network as well. I think that in talking about the passing of the Pope, let's start simple, because he would agree and would want us to simply say of Pope Francis, a good man died this morning, a good man dedicated to service. But that sounds cliche. It was so much more than that. there was always a sense of mission, and that mission was mercy. It was compassion. It was inclusion. It was especially dedicated to the poor and the marginalized, which should not be that tough to do, and yet it seems to be that tough to do for so many people, arguably more than ever. I was especially heartened by the remarks from Bishop Robert Barron of Winona, Minnesota, and Rochester, Minnesota, near the, in the La Crosse area. He was on one of the networks early this morning, talking about feeling the loss of a spiritual father, somebody who lived very simply and advocated for caring for the poor, for refugees, for the excluded. He was a Jesuit through and through, the first Pope who was a Jesuit, which again is all about a dedication to serving the less fortunate. He was the first Pope from the Americas, being from Buenos Aires, the first non-European Pope in over 1,000 years. And he has appointed more than half of the College of Cardinals, Francis has in his more than a decade serving as head of the Roman Catholic Church. And having just seen the movie Conclave not that long ago, and you know a whole lot of other people are going to be watching it over the next couple of weeks here, it reminds us that while we will remember the man, there will also be this focus on where the church goes from here. Because the way that I, a former Catholic, interpret it, he led that church toward a rediscovery of its roots of inclusion and mercy. And despite having named as many cardinals as he did, it is clear there will be a debate over whether the next pontiff will be equally public in the church's need to care for the poor and the downtrodden, or if it will ratchet up its doctrinaire pursuit of cultural adherence, shall we say. And so this conclave, when it eventually begins, will have all the trappings of a partisan convention, essentially, with everybody watching it nonstop, looking for any kind of reading in the tea leaves before they read whether there's white smoke or black smoke coming out from the conclave in the choosing of a new pope. But I do see him as Francis, as a shepherd, somebody who steered the church away from the abyss of exclusion. He made clear that the table was open to all in the church. And that is not a universal sentiment in that church or in many others. But certainly I have lived the experience where it is said quite publicly, the table is only open to people who adhere to everything that we tell you to adhere to. And that, in my mind, makes it really tough to mission to others. Francis made clear that he was not in the business of condemnation. He would say, as Jesus did, go and sin no more, but he was always a man of mercy. He was not a perfect man, certainly from a doctrine standpoint. He lifted up women in so many ways, but stopped short of allowing ordination of women as priests. There are many people who agreed with him on almost everything, but not his stance against women's reproductive health rights when it came to abortion care. But there was always compassion in the disagreement. He disagreed with homosexual acts, but he was a fearless advocate of LGBTQ people being able to participate in the church. He did not wish them out of existence. He spoke out against the invasion of Ukraine. He spoke for a ceasefire in Gaza. He spoke out against those who were critical of safety measures during the COVID pandemic. He understood a changing climate and the need to do something about it. He was a leader for the times, and we are very fortunate to have had him in this position, whether Catholic or not, all these years. And some of us can only pray that kind of a legacy will get to continue there from Rome. More after this. You're up north. You got a tale to tell. Or just take a walk down Lonely Street to Heartbreak Hotel, where you will be.
Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The latest milk production report from the U.S. Department of Agriculture comes out on Tuesday. The avian flu, or H5N1 virus, circulating in dairy cattle is still a part of the milk production conversation. One of the symptoms of the virus in dairy cows is that milk production is limited. I'm Stephanie Hoff, along with you on a Monday morning. This is the Midwest Farm Report. California and Idaho are the states with the largest detections of the virus in dairy cows in the last 30 days. Everegg dairy broker Cody Koster says it's something he pays attention to daily.
Yeah, I've had a few clients in different states that have gotten it for a second time now, and just about all of them that I've talked to have told me it's not as bad as the first time. The first time they were down anywhere from 15 to the most I heard was 30 pounds of fluid. They kind of came back from that. The butter, fat, and protein out of the cows was looking a lot better. They just said the second round is hit and the milk production isn't down as much. It's just kind of turning the cows a little bit more skinnier. The udder is starting to retract up a little bit. And so there's a little bit of a scare on that side.
Cody Koster is a dairy broker and analyst with Everegg with an update on the H5N1 virus circulating in dairy cows. Stick around for how markets are reacting after a three-day weekend. Next.
Giving back. It's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
There goes Pam Yonke across Wisconsin in her suburban truck. Thanks to Equity Livestock Cooperative, marketing your livestock, financing your operation, and supporting the livestock community since 1922. And to Cleary Building Corp. Cleary Building Corp. Built with pride before the shamrock is applied. Explore clearybuilding.com today. Keep up with Pam at MidwestFarmReport.com and on Facebook and Instagram.
Markets are mixed to start a Monday morning. From Chicago, cash corn is up 3.25 cents at 4.85 and a half. December new crop corn up a penny and a half at 4.67 and a half. Soybeans are also trading higher. Cash beans up 4.25 at 10.40 and 3/4. November new crop beans up 3.5 cents, trading at 10.36 a bushel. But July new crop wheat is down a penny at 5.61 and a quarter. The May Class 3 milk contract is sitting neutral at 1830 a hundredweight. The June contract is up 13 cents at 1756. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be breezy, cloudy, with scattered showers likely today. The showers will end, and we will clear a little bit by late this afternoon with a high today in the upper 40s to low 50s. Tonight, mostly clear. We'll drop into the low to mid 30s tomorrow. A mix of clouds and sun with a few sprinkles here and there, and a high in the low to mid 50s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Ross calling in.
Thanks for your show. I'm just wondering if we're watching or witnessing a legal system that, where what we thought was precedent is now going to be sort of cast away.
The reality is the question that you raise about the future and what are the implications when, in fact, the things we understood always to be bedrocks of our community, of our nation, are no longer that.
Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Child abuse is not a bad parent problem.
And the causes may be different than you think.
You see, paid family leave,
that prevents child abuse.
And high-quality, affordable child care
prevents child abuse, too.
Prevent Child Abuse America promotes programs and resources informed by science that help communities, parents, and kids thrive.
Because when we keep families out of crisis,
we prevent child abuse
from ever happening.
Go to preventchildabuse.org to learn more.
Let's solve child abuse before it ever happens.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll review the weekend news, and Jimmy Cuska, Civic Media Sports Director, will be here to talk about changes coming to the WIAA. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Well, this was going to be a bittersweet mention anyway. This is the anniversary of Prince passing away back in 2016. And between that and the Pope's passing, it's a little bit more of a melancholy edition of Up North News Radio on this Monday. But Kristen Lyerly, as always, is here to bring things back up for us as well. How's Dr. Lyerly this morning?
Yeah, that music's not melancholy, Pat.
No, not at all.
That is some good, like, Monday morning. Let's go, friends. Come on, Monday.
Yes. Okay, all right. Just,
come on,
just,
Greg.
No.
Whenever you're
God, near. Just please.
from Cassandra, she says on YouTube, I became disillusioned several years ago, and I was never Catholic. I have a lot of problems with the church, but Pope Francis was a beacon of light and a true follower of Jesus. So that's one of the comments that we're getting here. And, of course, you can do so on YouTube, Facebook. Alicia puts in, whenever I thought of Pope Francis, he was what I thought to be an example of what a Christian is supposed to be. So that's great. And Tony says, hi, bring in the joy, Dr. Lyerly. So thank
hey,
you for
Tony.
Bringing the joy. How
hey, have yes. you seen the movie The Two Popes?
Yes, but that was a while back. I don't remember.
Yeah. It was about the beginning, like when Pope Francis and Cardinal Ratzinger first got together and they were sharing their philosophies. And I think that's one that if you are feeling moved by this moment, that would be another good one to watch.
Yeah, I think that between that and Conclave, and I'm sure other folks will suggest some, you know, that this doesn't happen all the time. The passing of a pope and the choosing of a new one, and whether you're Catholic or not, you know, a lot of people take a lot of interest in the tradition as well as the politics, if you will. And getting back to, you know, what is your mission in life? So it will be a very intriguing time for everybody, one way or the other. So I woke up to the news, early this morning, saw that the networks were already going, you know, full bore in their coverage. I've already, let's see, on the text line, this came from Chris in Eau Claire. It's a quote card from Pope Francis. It says, rivers do not drink their own water, trees do not eat their own fruit, the sun does not shine on itself, and flowers do not spread their fragrance for themselves. Living for others is a rule of nature. We are all born to help each other, no matter how difficult it is. Life is good when you are happy, but much better when others are happy because of you.
Mm-hmm. That's
great
beautiful.
Words to live by. Well, it's how you got the title Chief Morale Officer of Up North News Radio. So.
Well, not to get all philosophical, but you know, while I was riding my bike yesterday, I was thinking about what does Easter really mean? And as a kid, I grew up Catholic. So as a kid, you know, we always went to church and we talked about Jesus and all the rising from, you know, all of that stuff. But I was focused on bunnies, eggs, and candy.
Yes.
And now as a grown up, I think a lot about Jesus and the things that he has taught us. And it's all about love and compassion and taking care of each other. And we're not seeing a lot of that in the world, but I think that we want that. So, hey, maybe this is one of those opportunities to just, you know, reach out and see who in your community is hurting and where that need is, and using your resources and your heart to uplift other people.
It is a perfect opportunity for all of us to recenter, essentially, to do a bit of a gut check and say, you know, who do we want to be, both ourselves as a person and, you know, the community around us. And that's where I think the word beacon gets used a lot with this Pope. He was truly a beacon in an era where so much discussion related to church and religion and politics and everything else was either dark or divisive.
Yeah.
And he reminded us, you know, he would go to a prison and wash the feet of inmates there. And again, talk about those who, you know, they did not ask for their lives to be in a place that led them to,
you know, the crimes that they may have committed. Mm-hmm. And we would all do well to talk about, you know, second chances, not just for people who, you know, commit crimes or who sin, but who look for second chances in life, maybe in another place. We are all the children of immigrants in one way, shape, or form, people who left a country somewhere else for a better life than what they were struggling through. And I know it pained him, as it does me and many others, to see the anti-immigrant, anti-refugee state of the world these days. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to think that the pushback is happening. I mean, you saw the pushback in demonstrations last weekend and again this past weekend of people saying, not just about, you know, the Trump immigration stance, but all kinds of other things, of saying, you know, we're not just going to go, what are you going to do? We're going to speak up. We're going to say something. And once again, over this past weekend, in some very small communities, plenty of people wanted to get out there and show what their values were. And I think they did us proud.
I was super excited. So I'm up in northern Minnesota, and I was looking for a place to go, and I didn't see anything online, and I was disappointed. But as I was driving back to town, there were hundreds of people standing on a corner. I just didn't know where to find the information. So I pulled my car over and got out there and was just chatting with people. And these were folks who had all different reasons to be there, whether it was Ukraine or LGBTQ rights or immigration. They had all these different signs, and they're just waving at people and having conversations with each other. It was, again, uplifting. And you know, you don't have to get outside and stand on a corner with a sign. You could just do one simple thing. Just listen. Just listen to someone who you otherwise might feel like you typically are the talker in that conversation. Just maybe opening your heart and hearing what they have to say. And you don't have to agree with them, but just respect them and acknowledge that their viewpoint is valuable. Be respectful.
You mentioned Ukraine, and that was a big part of episode 2 of the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show over the weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we talked with Kelly Peterson, who's a 3-time Emmy Award-winning journalist, and she brought her muse, Lana Nyland, who is the founder and CEO of an organization called Ukrainian Patriot. They run things to the front line. She lives in Kyiv, which is actually how you say Kyiv. And she not just inspires people by bringing them essential supplies, but she inspires them with music and dance and the creative things that make us human. She tells some really compelling stories. And honestly, Pat, I'm not a journalist and I'm just kind of figuring this whole podcast thing out, but this one was really good, a really good listen.
Well, you get that out of people. I mean, you're a good listener, but you ask great questions as well. I mean, there was a reason we had you starting the whole Women Win Wisconsin segment for us, is that you were finding all of these amazing women in you know, local leadership positions, and being able to get them to open up about what drives them, what motivates them. How many times do we say this? You don't have to do what you're doing, whether it's a candidate running for office or, you know, a doctor showing up on the radio or whatever the case may be. So why? Why step up? Why do this? And you definitely bring that out in people when you talk to them. Do you already have a plan for episode 3 next weekend?
I'm super excited. So it's draft in Green Bay, which is, it's like the Super Bowl is in Green Bay. Everybody is so very excited. And Abe is coming home. It's bring your child to work day this weekend. My child is 26 and he's a teacher. So Abe is going to join us and we're going to talk about, here's my plan. We're going to talk about, what does Gen Z see in the world today? And so it's going to be Gen X versus Gen Z with a little sprinkle of draft and whatever else is happening in the world. Who knows where the conversation will take us.
Okay. That's interesting. I recall a social media post over the weekend about that Gen Z actually has its own generational divide, that the difference between early Gen Z, which is more progressive, and later Gen Z, which is a little bit more, shall we say, Trumpian. And I think of that with Gen X, because I'm a very early Gen X, and I look at so much of Gen X and go, how are so many of them, you know, Republican politicians and everything? And I realized for them, Ronald Reagan was, you know, their formative year. And now it's Donald Trump. So I'm sure you're going to have a great discussion.
Hey, Greg, are you thinking what I'm thinking?
Probably
I'm
not.
Gonna,
you're
I'm
a lot smarter
go with,
than
no,
me.
No, yeah, yeah.
You're a doctor.
Gen X? Pat's definitely a boomer.
I am right there on the line. I mean,
I am.
Yeah.
So
because yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, Pat, I believe, is very young. I'm very – no, you're – I'm using this term as – you are on the older side of Gen X, Pat.
Yeah.
I am
oh,
on the
very much
I'm
so.
On the
yeah.
younger side. I'm like the last available Gen Xer.
Sure.
Because of my age. Yeah.
Yeah.
Look what we've got here. There's a divide within Gen X.
I know. See?
How so? We pretty much agree on things. What are you talking about?
Yeah, well.
I mean, you're right. I'm sorry. Trump is the best.
No.
That's not what I'm talking about, but I'm sticking by my assertion that Pat is a boomer.
The reason it doesn't divide itself well is that my parents were born in 1945. And so they weren't part of the babies that were born from everybody coming home from the war. There wasn't any of that. So when you think baby boomer, you're thinking those folks. But technically, you know, my parents were like the very first baby boomers or the very first to grow up in that era. And that's the same with me. But when that's the case, you have so much influence from the previous generation. We say that all the time. It's like, I mean, there's so much boomer in us because we were so much closer to our parents and grandparents' experiences than, you know, my younger siblings and others like that. And Alicia writes in, there's a divide in millennials as well. I'm an elder millennial, the child of younger boomers. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the lines aren't all neat and tidy.
Ever,
unfortunately,
about anything.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So we mentioned the draft is coming up, so that's exciting news. But I don't want to finish the segment without mentioning what I said in the last segment about the state Senate taking up a bill that would expand postpartum Medicaid coverage to women instead of 60 days postpartum for a year postpartum. And we are so close to being the only state, even Arkansas is going to become the 49th state to do this, and the cheese stands alone because of Robin Voss. And I don't know, Kristen, if this bill passes the Senate 33-0 tomorrow, and I think it might, what does that do to the pressure on Robin Voss in the Assembly?
I think it's going to be more than just the Senate passing that is going to put pressure on Robin Voss, because we've got small business, we've got teachers, we've got moms who are coming out in force. So anticipate that you're going to be hearing more and more about this after the Senate passes it, because, like, frankly, the only state that takes insurance, that takes access to healthcare away from moms at 2 months postpartum, come on, that's not Wisconsin. We're not going to let this happen. So get ready, friends. Get ready to put the pressure on yourself. You can call your assembly person, even if they're already on board. Give them a call. Send them a message. We can do more as a population, as Wisconsinites, when we work together. We're famous for this. So this is just one more example of what we do.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to call or send a note to, you know, Robin Voss's office. If you know your own legislator, or just reach out to them, trust me, again, speaking from experience, they know the volume of calls. They know the volume of emails. And I've been in that caucus room when people speak up and go, yeah, I was kind of on the fence, but I've heard from so many constituents who believe X, and you want to stand with your constituents. So I really feel like people can make a difference on this issue, no matter how much Robin Voss says he's digging in his heels, because to him, all Medicaid is welfare, and he wants Medicaid to go away entirely, not expand. But I feel like we can really make a difference this time, potentially.
Especially moms. Come on, moms. It's almost Mother's Day. We understand what this means, because if you're a mom, you've been through this. Robin Voss has not been through this. Let's remember, this is a guy who's been married 3 times and has no kids. And I've had legislators say to me, once the baby's out, what's the big deal? They do not understand that the postpartum period is a challenging, incredibly difficult period. So it's up to us. It's up to us to use our voices.
So what are you going to do for the draft? Are you going to be back in DePere by then?
I am. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it all. I'm going to ride my bike down there and chain it to a fence post, and I am going to just go out and live it up.
That's so great.
It's going to be a blast.
I mean, everybody's just so excited about it. So that's wonderful. All right. Well, let's take a pause here. And Selena Heller will come in. We will have today's history lesson as well. Then author Laura Bird in our next hour talking about Independent Bookstore Day across the country. This is Up North News Radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Could coal make a comeback in Wisconsin? Pollution and high costs have pushed utilities to start shutting down coal plants across the state. But the Trump administration has announced emergency orders to boost coal, including offering power plants a two-year exemption from requirements to reduce emissions of toxic chemicals like mercury, arsenic, and benzene. April 22nd marks the 55th anniversary of Earth Day. Back in 1970, Wisconsin Senator Gaylord Nelson called for an environmental day of action that inspired 20 million Americans to take to the streets and demand protections from environmental contamination. Less than 8 months later, Congress created the EPA. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into environmental issues in Wisconsin, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent months, Milwaukee health officials have uncovered significant lead hazards in city schools, mostly due to lead-based paint. Several schools have now been closed as the problem has been found to be more widespread. In late March, city officials formally requested help from the CDC, but in doing so, they learned that the CDC's entire lead program had been eliminated by Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. This is a major problem. Children in the state's largest city are being exposed to lead poisoning at their schools, and the Trump administration is not only refusing to provide assistance, they are eliminating the entire lead program that would help in cases like this one. Now, state and local officials must step up to do something for these kids, since Trump and RFK Jr. are gutting federal support. Milwaukee's children deserve better.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, home of the Chad Holmes Show.
I know, you're like, wait, it's a rainy day, it's a Monday, where are the carpenters when you need them? But no, we're not doing rainy days and Mondays, we're doing Friday, I'm in love, in today's history lesson to kick things off, because it was on this day in 1992 that The Cure released their ninth studio album, Wish, which featured that hit single. It debuted at number two on the album chart. It was their highest charting album as well. So again, it was released this day in 1992, which back then would have been Robert Smith's 33rd birthday, because today Robert Smith of The Cure is 66 years old today. And that's how we kick off our history lesson. I played that so many Fridays, I've worn it out now at this point.
It's such a good song.
I'm going to bring
it's
back so up cheerful. A little bit. There we go.
There yeah. you go. Thank you.
Have you seen Robert Smith lately? His look is continuing to progress.
It's changing. Yes, it is.
Neither one of those statements were complimentary either.
Yep. Another birthday to share. Andy McDowell is 67 years old today, who I know most from Groundhog Day. I know she's been in a lot of other things, for weddings and a funeral and all kinds of other stuff. But yeah, Andy McDowell, 67 years old today. Selena Heller has joined the conversation as well from Eau Claire. Mm-hmm. How are you, Ms. Heller?
Good morning, okay. Everybody.
Good. Do you feel like you're, when you do this on Monday, it's like, is this your Groundhog Day? Like, okay, it's another Monday. Hit the button. Yeah. And you're,
yep.
Laugh at Pat's jokes. Let's move on. Okay. Yep. On this day in 1973, the number one hit was by Tony Orlando and Dawn. Yes, I know. Greg's laughing because only Kristen Lierley can be bouncing around to this.
I love Yeah. I loved their TV show. Do you remember the Tony
it was
Orlando
a very,
and Don
It
show?
Was a very nice, cute little TV show.
Very wholesome.
Very wholesome. When everybody, you know, Donnie and Marie had a show. Sonny and Cher had a show. You know, the Hudson Brothers. You name it. Captain and Tennille all had shows for a little while there. And Tony Orlando and Don had a kind of a longer lasting one. So anyway, this was a song that 7 years later was played all the time about the hostages in Iran and welcoming them home. So it kind of got a second resurgence. We mentioned Elvis Presley's Heartbreak Hotel earlier. It was number one this day in 1956. And then 6 years later, Elvis went to number one with Good Luck Charm. Let's move ahead to 1984, where the number one song was by Phil Collins.
What an intro.
Wow.
What a transition. I think we get the interpretive dance by Kristen as well for this. You know, just... This was Phil Collins' first number one song. He would go on to have six more on the Hot 100, but starting with this from the Against All Odds movie soundtrack. Once again, one of those where I know the movie song, never saw the movie, and nobody remembers the movie. Yeah. Nobody says, oh, hey, I watched Against All Odds again last weekend.
You know? I remember the movie. It was Mikhail Baryshnikov and Gregory Hines. It was dancing and ballet, and he defected from Russia. I totally remember this movie.
I think you're talking about White Knights.
You're talking about White Knights.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You're right.
But Dr. Lyerly, the confidence with which you went into that statement.
Yeah. I believed it.
You were like, I'm here to defend this movie. It's the wrong movie. I love White Knights.
I'm like, Monday. I do not recall Mikhail Baryshnikov in there with Jeff Bridges, James Woods, and Rachel Ward at all. But
that's the director's cut, Pat. They cut all that stuff out. The ballet. That's
silly me.
You convinced me.
Yes. The number one song in 1979 as disco was beginning to wane, but not quite yet. Amy Stewart had that number one song this day in 79.
My high school pep band did a kick butt version of this song.
Oh, I'll bet.
Mm-hmm. Should have.
Once again, Pat should have queued that up a little bit better. You know what you should do at random intro times like that is you should just click anywhere in the middle of the song.
I can't do that. That's not how Cartwheel works. Once you start playing, it's just playing. Holy cow. Okay, you guys talk. I'm going to get to the good stuff because there's like what seems like a decade of intro.
I was going to say this is definitely not the single version. This is the extended dance remix. There we go.
My pep band just got right into it.
Oh, yeah.
Of that intro stuff.
Her pep band's still doing the intro to this day. It's still going.
Let's hear it for Kakana High School.
That's
woo!
Right. There we go. All right, Raleigh Fingers of the Milwaukee Brewers became the first pitcher to record 300 saves this day in 1982. Prince passed away on this day in 2016 at the age of 57 from a fentanyl overdose. On the national calendar today, this is Infertility Awareness Week. This is Medical Lab Professionals Week. This is Administrative Professionals Day. Remember when it was called Secretary's Day for all those years? And now it's Administrative Professional Day. Been around since 1952. Yes, Greg.
My mother was a secretary from like the... She still knows how to do shorthand for decades. And she hated being called an assistant or anything else. She's like, I'm a secretary. I was trained to be a secretary. That was my job. That's what I do. I'm like, okay. All right. Okay.
Yeah. Look, if you're proud of it and you know that's what you do and you want that badge, you get to call that badge what you want.
There you go.
So good on you. All right. So when we come back, Selena Heller is going to, as we were talking about, you know, things like Medical Lab Professionals Week, and I'm thinking of labs and research and everything else. I mean, medical research, that's a good thing, right? Everybody? Cancer good research? Good
yes,
thing?
For
you
it.
Think? Sure. So yes. Let's defund the heck out of it, which seems to be the theme today. But Selena's got somebody telling you how it can do things like help you last past your expiration date, at
yes.
least, you know, the one that the doctors originally give you. So stick around for that. Kristen Lyerly is here. Greg Bach, Brittany Merlot will have the forecast. All that and more on Up North News Radio, live from Chippewa Falls on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we'll talk about the price of oil with Mr. Global and what that means for consumers. Hour number two, we'll talk about organ donation. I hope you join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Vicky Barker at the Foreign Desk in London.
At 7:35 this morning, the Bishop of Rome, Francis, returned to the house of the Father.
Pope Francis, dead at 88.
Buona Pasqua.
The Pope yesterday delivering the traditional Easter blessing from a wheelchair on the Vatican balcony after missing the open-air Mass in St. Peter's Square, but then greeting the faithful from his Pope mobile later.
I miss your dear Father.
There was also a brief meeting with Vice President J.D. Vance.
I know you've not been feeling great, but it's good to see you.
Vance, a Catholic convert whose position on migration clashed with that of the late pontiff, sending condolences. Francis famously rejected the more luxurious trappings of the papacy, allying himself with the poor and the marginalized, says theologian Joel Hodge.
He brought so many beautiful gifts to the church, which are going to be missed.
To Vatican watcher Ed Sturton.
In a funny sort of way, you might say, was sort of